grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an old man, and he enters the temple. By lot, it was his turn to enter and offer the burning of incense before the Lord. The people outside, they were assembled in worship and prayer. This old man enters to do his duty to the Lord. He walks in with on his mind was doing his duty, a solemn duty before the Lord, carefully approaching the altar of incense, which is in the holy place, just outside the most holy place. Suddenly, another is standing there by the altar of incense, and the old man is startled, and he's filled with fear. And the man standing there says to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. You will have a son by your wife, and you will name him John. Raise him up and teach him. And teach him that he should never drink any wine or other fermented drink. He will be great. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And your son will lead many back to the Lord. The spirit of power, like Elijah, will be upon him, turning hearts, preparing the people for the Lord." The old man finds his voice for a moment and goes, "How can I be sure? I'm old. My wife is old. We're past childbearing age. That was a long time ago. How can I be sure?" "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and the word I speak to you is the word of God, which I was sent to speak to you. Now, you will be silent, unable to speak, till all has come to be." Zechariah was in that holy place, just outside that most holy place, longer than usual. And the people looked up from their worship and their praise, and they began to wonder what was happening. What was taking so long? And as Zechariah came out, he couldn't talk. He couldn't speak. He couldn't say a word. Now, it's 8 days after his wife Elizabeth gave birth to a son. And they're on their way to the synagogue to observe the covenant for their son. Zechariah still unable to speak. The bris is a very formal ceremony. It's the sign of the covenant given to Abraham, and every Hebrew male has received the sign for centuries upon centuries. Very solemn time, during which the baby's name is spoken for the first time as a part of a prayer. The people gathered were going to name him Zechariah after his father. That was the assumption, till Elizabeth speaks up, and she speaks out a turn. For it's not proper for a woman to speak. But she said, "His name will be John." They turn to the father, Zechariah. "What will his name be?" And writing on a tablet that was handed to him, he writes, "His name is John." Suddenly, Zechariah's voice returns and praises to God come out of his mouth. And everyone in the gathering is startled. "What will this child be?" And Zechariah, filled with praise, looks to the heavens. "Praise be to the Lord, God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And the praises keep pouring forth. And then Zechariah looks down on his baby boy, 8 days old. Sign of the covenant in his baby boy's flesh. And he looks and says, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord, preparing the way for him to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sin because of the tender mercy of our God." Prepare the way. Knowledge of salvation through forgiveness. Praise the Lord God because he has come to redeem his people because of the tender mercy of our God. Those two words, tender mercy, in English, really miss the power that is being communicated in the Greek language as it was written. That word tender and mercy can't capture what is going on in Scripture there. Tender, translated tender, is splechna. And it means a visceral compassion from the deepest part of the gut. Just coming forth. Eleus is mercy. It's the clemency of God, compassion of God in providing and offering to men salvation by Christ. So as Zechariah was looking at his son, saying, "This is coming because of the tender mercy of God," that visceral, the tender mercy of God's compassion coming from the innermost part and desire and drive of the living God to show humanity mercy by providing salvation and offering it to all through Christ. Tender mercy. It's just out of God for you. John would grow up and began living in the wilderness, where his diet included locust and wild honey, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The crowds, they were just flocking to him. The people would wonder if this John could be the promised Messiah. And his answer was always no. He is just a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the one to come, one greater than him, whose sandals, whose dirty, dust-crusted, smelly sandals, he was unworthy to even untie. He is just a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall be straight and the rough way smooth. And all mankind will see God's salvation." And then one day a man comes to John to be baptized, and John says to the man, "No, you should be baptizing me." Yet to fulfill all righteousness, John baptizes the man, Jesus. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." The Father loves the Son. And in love, the Father sent the Son to be our Savior. The Father gave the Son to open the way to eternal life. A few years pass as Jesus walks and teaches, and he's showing mercy and compassion for the blind, the lame, the outcast, lepers, prostitutes, tax collectors. Then there's that night in the upper room, and Jesus teaches once more again about his love that he was showing. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. To know the love of the Father and to know the love of the Son is to look at the cross where he laid down his life for us. As written in Isaiah 53, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Some may be feeling right now that this preaching belongs on Maundy Thursday or Good Friday. This time of year, it's Christmas. Christmas is just a couple days away. Don't talk about the cross. Just give us that cute baby boy. You've stood in a line before, and you look up, and a mother or a dad is holding a baby or grandmother, and you just have to watch that baby, see if you can get the baby to smile. That's just what you want right now. Give me the baby. Let me see if he smiles at me. Don't talk about the cross. I want the cuteness of the baby in the manger. Never mind all that other stuff. But why was the baby born? Why did the living God of creation enter into creation? Why did the eternal one become finite, become human, a baby boy? To redeem us. To save us. A young boy, growing up in a very large family, often not enough to go around. His parents were spiritualists, making their living with occult things. His dad was the most feared man on the island. His mother was a medium, and his home was full of all sorts of voodoo, Santeria, seances, and sorcery. One day during a gathering of mediums, one noticed the boy and said how cute he was and how proud his mother must be. She answered, his mother answered, this is not my son. No, not Nikki. He never mine. And his own mother goes on to say that her son is a child of the evil one. He is sent to the States to live with his brother. Gangs become a regular part of his life. Rising in position and power, he becomes warlord. Very vicious. All before he was 18. But the love of God captured him one day and redeemed his heart and soul. A street preacher, David Wilkerson, looked at this Mau Mau warlord and said, Jesus loves you, Nikki. Several weeks later, Nikki exchanged his weapons for a Bible. And for the past 50 years, Nikki Cruz has been preaching Jesus Christ around the world. The baby boy born in Bethlehem came to redeem lives. The love of God sent the Son to redeem lives. The angelic message gave the good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior. The baby born is Savior. But the moment of salvation in human history was not in the manger. The moment of salvation in human history, it was on a hill outside of Jerusalem where the Lamb of God shed his blood and died. And rose again and ascended to heaven and will come back one day so that we will be with him where he is for all eternity. In our own lives, let us not keep Jesus as the baby in the manger. Just as he grows up, our faith should grow up too. Recognize that in the Word of God, the Word of God is clear and says sin is sin. And at the same time, the Word of God is clear and said the Son of God, Son of Man, is Savior. When you see the greatness of the wickedness that was in us, you may glimpse the greatness of the love of God for us, that he gave his own Son to be with us, to die for us, rise again, so that we will live forever. The love of God saved a sinner like Nikki Cruz, like you, like me. The love of God saves. The Redeemer came to show us love. And the love, you see it in the manger. But if you really want to see God's love for you, look at the cross, where you were redeemed.